This is Robert Samuels.
This is Tolu Olorunipa.
Introduction.
Flowers.
I love you. George Perry Floyd Jr. would express the same sentiment to men, women, and children. To relatives, old friends, and strangers. To romantic partners, platonic acquaintances, and the women who fell somewhere in between. To hardened hustlers and homeless junkies, to big-time celebrities and neighborhood nobodies. Floyd said the phrase so often that many friends and family members have no doubt about the final words he spoke to them. He would end phone calls with the expression and sign off text messages by tapping it out in all caps. "All right, whatever, man," DeCorey Lawson said when he first heard Big Floyd, as he was known to friends, say those words. "I'll talk to you later, man." As the decades passed, he came to appreciate Floyd's earnestness as they lost people to gun violence, drug overdoses, police brutality, and other trapdoors awaiting young Black men like them as they came of age in a harsh, often loveless reality. D. "I love you, bro," Floyd told his friend during their final phone call in the spring of 2020. "I love you too, man," Lawson replied by this point. "We always said we were going to give each other our flowers before we died," Lawson recalled. And that right there lets you know the type of person he was.
Over the course of Floyd's final weeks, the fractured state of the world revealed the importance of sending love and flowers to friends while they were still alive. By the spring of 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic was raging, killing thousands of Americans each day, shutting down scores of businesses, and leaving millions of people out of work. Floyd, like many Black Americans, proved particularly vulnerable to the pandemic's merciless assault. He had been diagnosed with an asymptomatic case of the virus and had lost his job after the Minneapolis club where he worked as a security guard was forced to close. With most of the country on lockdown, Floyd spent much of his time on the phone, catching up with old friends and checking in with relatives back in his hometown of Houston. He had left Texas for Minneapolis 3 years earlier, hoping to reset his life and break free from addiction, but he had only just changed the area code on his cell phone from Houston's 832 to 612, a signal of his renewed commitment to his adopted hometown in the Twin Cities. One of those calls was to his brother Terrence, whose 2-year-old daughter reminded him of his own beloved little girl, Gianna. "My little niece, oh man," Floyd said over the phone, marveling over baby pictures Terrence had posted online. "When I get right, I'm going to get Gianna down here and you bring baby girl and we can have our play dates." "I'm with it," Terrence responded. "All right, bro. I love you," Floyd said before hanging up. Floyd's comment about getting right could have referred to any number of things at that point in his life. His attempts to stand on his feet in Minnesota with the goal of ultimately securing custody of Gianna had often resulted in his getting knocked to the ground. He was constantly tripping over both his own mistakes and obstacles beyond his control, not least of which was a pandemic that had caused his income stream to dry up. Floyd's emotional declarations were nothing new to his siblings. As a teenager, Floyd would stop to give his sister Zsa Zsa a hug and tell her he loved her before leaving their house with his friends, just quietly enough to keep the other kids from overhearing. Floyd had grown up singing love songs karaoke style with his sister LaTanya, and when they spoke for the last time that May, they reminisced by belting out her favorite tune, REO Speedwagon's 1980 hit, "Keep On Loving You." "And I'm gonna keep on loving you, cause it's the only thing I want to do." As a young man, Perry, as family called him, had outsized aspirations to become a Supreme Court justice, a pro athlete, or a rap star. By the time his world came crashing down in the months before his death, he had been chasing more modest ambitions, a little stability, a job driving trucks, health insurance. Still, in his dying seconds, as he suffocated under a white police officer's knee, Floyd managed to speak his love. "Mama, I love you," he screamed from the pavement, where his cries of "I can't breathe" were met with an indifference as deadly as hate.